Coming up on NFL Live, the Patriots have three quarterbacks on their roster, but who will get the start to this season? We discuss the possibility of all three playing a major role in offense. Plus, the Ravens seem to be just one missing piece away from a big playoff run this season. Is Dez Bryant the answer for Lamar Jackson? And staying in the AFC North, do the Steelers have what it takes to get themselves to another Super Bowl? Big Ben is back, and they think they have an offense.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The top offense in the NFL, do we agree, is the question. Hello and welcome into NFL Live, along with our Pro Bowl center, Jeff Saturday, and our first-round defensive lineman, Marcus Spears. I am Field Yates. And let's begin with the Patriots, because the Patriots seem to be potentially going through a three-quarterback situation right now. The competition is heating up with Cam Newton, Jarrett Stidham, and Brian Hoyer all taking reps during training camp. But what's their plan without Tom Brady under center once the season starts? ESPN Patriots reporter Mike Reese has the story.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled BABBEL.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Field, all eyes are on the quarterbacks here 3 days into Patriots training camp, and the repetitions continue to get split evenly between Cam Newton, Jarrett Stidham, and Brian Hoyer. They all have different skill sets, which sparks a question. Would Bill Belichick continue some type of platoon heading into the regular season? He isn't ruling it out.
Yeah, it might. I would always say I'll do what I think is best for the team, what gives us the best chance to win. So, whatever that is, I would certainly consider that. If it's run unbalanced line or double unbalanced line or 23 personnel or whatever it is, if it helps us win, then I would consider anything.
On one play in this morning's practice, Cam Newton just took off running, a designed quarterback keeper, the type of play you haven't seen much of from a quarterback over the last two decades here in New England. intriguing possibilities, and Bill Belichick is keeping an open mind. Field?
All right, Mike, and let's get to you, Jeff, because we got a long ways to go until week one is played against the Miami Dolphins. But is the Patriots platooning their quarterbacks a good idea?
Oh, that's a tough question, Field. You know, when you hear Bill Belichick, you know he likes to kind of – he likes to massage and maneuver. I do think it's actually a possibility, and here's why I would say that. The shortened offseason, when as Cam has been brought in, and now with no preseason of real true abilities to kind of see where everybody is, I could see them building in some small subsections of situational football. Everyone knows Bill Belichick loves situational football. When I played against him so many times from the Colts to the Patriots, you know, you would go in planning for one style of defense. He may give that to you for the first series, and then he's going to give you another defense. And in the second half, he's got an entire different game plan. So he is not afraid to break the mold, start over, do something new. He believes he has smart players. The only difficulty for that is the common denominator of how easy is it for the offensive line, the running backs, receivers to get used to the different quarterback styles. That's tougher than people act like it is. Snap, you know, cadence changes, audibles, all the different things that you get accustomed to when you're going with one guy, that rhythm you find is much harder to pick up when you're splitting reps the way they are right now. And in a game, it would be even more difficult.
All right, so I got two things. First, who in the hell calls a dual quarterback system a platoon, if that's what it's going to be? And then the second thing is, when we heard Bill Belichick make his statement just now, he didn't say anything about a two-quarterback system. He said, we'll go unbalanced, we'll go 23. The question to the answer is, hell no. Bill Belichick is going to identify one quarterback because he's all about the knowns. Bill Belichick does not want to catch himself off guard. If he lost one game because he tried to play Stidham and Cam and run with this type of system where you're going to use multiple quarterbacks, that would be the end of it. That would be scrap. Bill Belichick, for the last 20 years, obviously has had one guy he's went into the season with. And when he didn't have them seasons, guess what he did? He played one damn quarterback. It was Jacoby Brissett. It was guys that won 11 games. I can't think of the name slipping me right now. The bottom line is this. Matt Castle. Yep. Matt Castle. The bottom line is this. Bill Belichick is going to find his starter as they go through these practices. I believe that starter will be Cam Newton, and I believe Josh McDaniels will be tasked with making sure they have a game plan that not only highlights Cam Newton's skill set, but also keeps them in the same lane where they want to score points. A platoon, please.
I'm just the one who asked the questions around here, Marcus, but I will add, I have a hard time envisioning.
It's not you.
It's not personal, that's right. But I got to tell you, I have a hard time envisioning them not starting Cam Newton when the season begins. Let's talk about the Super Bowl champs. Let's talk about the Buccaneers, who now have the quarterback on their roster, Tom Brady, who used to play for the Patriots. Tom Brady and the Bucs are out there on the practice field again this morning in full pads. Brady is getting reps with his new teammates, but nothing is quite like the in-game atmosphere. Head coach Bruce Arians talked about his unique approach to the preseason with no games being played.
We'll have at least one to two a week, but we're going to have a game in the stadium, two of them actually, so that we're in the stadium and the lights are on and everything's playing and everything is game ready, so we can know the stadium's ready too. But to get in that atmosphere and play a game live, special teams, live offense, defense, and we'll try to do two of those.
All right, Jeff, so the takeaway is the Bucs are going to be doing plenty of intra-squad scrimmages this preseason, including one in the stadium. Should every team be doing this during a preseason where there are no games being played?
Absolutely. I would be shocked if other teams aren't doing it. I mean, I know, listen, when I was playing, we would do one of our last practices would be down in whether it was the RCA Dome or Lucas Oil, and we would have fans come around. Now, obviously, that can't happen with the fans portion now, but it still mattered, right? You want to get young guys and guys who you want to get Tom Brady, who may have played in that stadium once or twice in his career, however many times. You want to see the spots, hey, where the ball, when it comes off, the receiver loses it for a second, or hey, when you're looking at this for the play clock, here's where everything is going to be. There are not going to be any fans, no distractions, but all of those little details. And I can tell you this, you talk about Tom Brady, that's a detailed son of a gun. Now, he wants to know every nook and cranny of that stadium, just like every good quarterback would want to know. The receivers want to know, running backs want to know. I think it's a great idea by Bruce Arians. I would be shocked if every team isn't doing this, though, Field, because honestly, when guys move, new guys to the team, it's a completely different atmosphere. And now take fans out of it, just the energy you're going to have to now bring to the game. So you better get that kind of mindset in your head. When you hit there, ain't nobody chanting your name anymore. You're going to have to kind of create that for yourself, that motivation. So I think it's a great idea.
Phil, this is the absolute reason I love Jeff Saturday and working with this dude, because he keep it 100. Man, we've been doing inter squad scrimmages. That's been going on forever with no noise, no fans. It's just ones on ones. Jeff, and that's the part I want to hone in on. When you get to go good on good, that's the realest simulation you can get as close to a real football game when you get ready for and prepare for a season. Right. That's why before COVID, you would see so many teams venture out and have practices against teams for a week, and you would bring guys in for days. When I played for the Cowboys, we would make a West Coast tour. We would go practice against San Francisco. We would practice against the Chargers. We even went to Denver and practiced against the Broncos when I was playing. That's all to simulate game atmosphere. For good to go against good, for ones to go against ones. We saw an ascending defense from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year towards the end of the season. Now we know what this offense is supposed to be from a prolific standpoint. To have both of them gauge each other, to have both of them go against each other leading into this season, and also to simulate the type of atmosphere that you probably will be playing in, is a great idea. But teams been doing inter-squad scrimmages without fans in the stands.
Yeah.
But hey, let me add to that as well. Let me add one other thing. When you talk about when Marcus is talking about ones on ones and what that looks like, when you go to these scrimmages, there are no scripts, right? You think about every practice you're in has script. When you go to these scrimmages, it's not like that anymore. The defense ain't telling you what they're going to run. The offense didn't tell you what they're going to run. So as you're building up that first third and three, you'll get a good picture of what your coach may call the first game on a third and three, right? Third and 12. What does this look like? If we're behind the chains, if we got to go 4-minute offense, what is this really going to look like? What are our favorite plays? All of those things do a great job for players of helping funnel down the playbook, right? So, because right now it's like drinking from a fire hydrant, man. You're getting everything. Every little bit is coming in. But as this thing gets down and when you get in these scrimmages, it does a ton of good for players because you begin to get kind of a feel of what's Byron Leftwich going to call, even with Tom Brady. What's BA going to say about this?
Yeah.
All of those things. I think it is vital for teams to do this, not only for the kind of the logistics of a stadium, but just getting accustomed to each other in these live environments. Swaggoo made a great point, man. It is, especially without preseason games, this is a must for teams.
No doubt. And to Jeff's point, let me finish this, because you got an O-lineman and a D-lineman. While we getting beat up during inter-squad scrimmages, the pretty quarterbacks are just taking their time, going through their progression. Guys, don't touch our pretty shiny object. You run past him and you tap him on the leg, and we may call it a sack based on how the play turns out. If Jeff Saturday misses a block, he gets scolded, and it's the worst practice ever. But with Tom Brady, and in his case, Peyton Manning, or when Tony Romo missed the pass, oh, things wasn't right and pretty. So these inter-squad scrimmages are really for the quarterbacks to look great while me and Jeff Saturday get beat to sleep every single play during these scrimmages.
These quarterbacks.
I just had to put that in, Phil.
That's right. The quarterbacks, they make the most money. They take the fewest hits. They get all the good headlines. That's a winning formula, if you ask me.
Man.
Yep. All right, the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs starting right cornerback Breshad Breeland is facing a 4-game suspension for violating the NFL policy of substances of abuse. A source tells our Adam Schefter the 4 games Breeland would be expected to miss are against the Texans, Chargers, Ravens, and Patriots. All righty, Marcus. Breeland, a guy who played pretty well for the Chiefs last year. What's the impact on this defense for him?
I mean, it's an impact. Obviously, you look at the value of the cornerback position, but you look at the rest of this team and you say Patrick Mahomes can make up for whatever plays. The Antonio Hamilton possibly would be Breland's backup, would not give up. But look, Phil, this is one of those situations where we've had a Cinderella darling offseason talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. Players have talked about how bought in they were with each other. They talked about winning more Super Bowls. Chris Jones got his money. We see Tyrann Mathieu emerge as one of the leaders on this defense. So this is a shock to the psyche of what's developing in Kansas City. I'm sure Breshad feels like he let the guys around him down, and that's the worst feeling as an NFL football player, especially when you have something special going like they have in Kansas City. I don't think it'll impact the team on the field as much as it would some other teams because of what they have available to them, including Tyrann Mathieu on the back end, kind of patrolling and being the talkative and giving guys the way to go, so it's easier to implement a guy into that defense that hadn't been playing for a long time because the Honey Badger is so bright and can get everybody where they need to be. But the bottom line is this. This situation is particular to individual teams and how it impacts them. You love the leadership. You love Leach as a GM. You love Mahomes as a quarterback. You love Tyrann Mathieu as a defensive player on the other side of that football. So it won't impact them as much as it would impact somebody else. But it is a blow when your starting corner is not available for an extended period of time in the season.
Well, nobody better to bring in on the story than the man who reported it himself. Let's talk to Adam Schefter. And Schefty, we saw the headline. What more can you tell us about Breshad Breland?
Phil, my understanding is that it is going to happen today. It'll become official that Breshad Breland will be suspended today for the first four games of the season. That'll knock him out of the opening game against the Houston Texans in the regular season opener, and that'll be a difficult task for the Chiefs to have to overcome as they try to defend their Super Bowl title. But I think they knew this was coming. They were prepared for this all along, so it's not something that all of a sudden surprises them at the last moment. But that move, my understanding is, from speaking to the Chiefs today, it will become official. It should be on the wire today, and he should be missing the first four games of the season.
All right, Schefty, let's talk about another player with some off-field news, but not necessarily bad news here, because negotiations over a contract extension between Vikings running back Dalvin Cook and the team have reached an impasse, multiple sources confirmed to ESPN. So barring any changes, the 25-year-old Cook is set to play out the final year of his rookie deal. It's worth $1.33 million this season. So, Schefty, what's going on here with Dalvin Cook?
Well, here's the situation right now, Phil. Basically, we've got a case where his agent, Zach Hiller, was in town with the Vikings over the weekend. They were trying to get a contract done. He was there as recently as yesterday, trying to see if they could get it done. And I think the Vikings feel like they've gone far enough on any offer for Dalvin Cook, who earlier, basically, there was a sense that he wasn't going to be in training camp without a new contract extension. He didn't get the contract extension he wanted. He did show up in camp. They've been unable to get a new deal done. Look, what I would say here is it's a fluid situation. Even though the Vikings aren't interested in talking anymore, even though Dalvin Cook would like more money from them, you don't know how these situations change as it gets closer to the kickoff of the season. Fluid. I know right now there's no progress. I know right now the deal is off the table. I know right now a deal is not happening. That doesn't mean a deal couldn't happen. But again, I think both sides are frustrated that they haven't got what they wanted.
Well, things can change, and that's why I have my Adam Schefter Twitter notifications on to get the latest news. Jeff, let's go to you about the importance of Dalvin Cook. Just how integral is he to the Vikings' offensive success this season?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's huge. The difficult part from a player perspective is you have the position of a running back. He has been banged up. As productive as he's been, he has missed time because of injury. So from the player perspective, he understands how violent this game can be on your body. So he wants to get assurances. He wants to get that deal. He definitely deserves more than 1.3. But unfortunately, they haven't been able to get something done. I think he plays no matter what, right? I mean, as frustrated as he'll be, I think he plays through and gives them what he can to kind of present himself, whether it's not for the Vikings, it's for the next team. I think this is something, though, the Vikings definitely want to get done long term. I mean, this kid is special. You know, and again, I know he's been banged up. I know he's been injured. But with the ball in his hand, he does some things special. You know, catch you out of the back. So he's a well-rounded player. It's one of those things, man. I don't know what he was looking for. I didn't hear Shefty talk about numbers. I'm not sure how far they're off. You would hope if you're the player, you get this thing done before the first game of the season, right? Like, I mean, you hope, because you'll be protected in practices for the large majority of practices. There may be a few live hits, but you ain't putting your start running back out there over and over and over. He'll get five or six licks, and then they'll take him out to protect him, which they should. But, man, week one, all bets are off, right? And so if I'm him, my agent are sitting back down, how close can we get? Where can we really struggle? You know, how much more can we get? How much more beneficial is waiting? And at that point, I think hopefully the deal gets done. He deserves to get the deal done. It's just a matter of when can both sides finally ink the deal.
Well, some context. Christian McCaffrey's at the top of the running back market at $16 million per year, and Derrick Henry recently signed for $12.5 million per year with the Titans. Shefty, you've got some other league-wide notes that you wanted to pass along, a couple of developments regarding adjustments to coronavirus. Tell us more about those.
Well, the NFL held a conference call today, and on that call, the NFL Executive Vice President Troy Vincent revealed that Sean Payton, a member of the competition committee, has proposed making the playoffs a situation that teams will go into a bubble, much like the NBA has done down in Orlando and the NHL has done in Canada. Now, again, the NFL is not acting on that right now, but it says all options are on the table. It wants to see how everything goes. But it shows you how outside the box the league is thinking at this point in time, that Sean Payton would propose and suggest a playoff bubble for teams that qualify for the postseason. Now, keep in mind, Field, that today, right now, there are 10 players on the reserve COVID list. So if each team has 80 players in camp, 80 times 32, it's a big number. There are only 10 players right now who are on that list, which means they've either tested positive or have come into contact with somebody who has tested positive. So I think the NFL right now has to be very pleased with the way the preseason experiment has gone, with them trying to control the environments as best as they can. But Sean Payton is willing to go a step further, and I don't think the NFL is willing to dismiss it at this point in time. We would like to see how the season goes. And then at that point, if it needs it, it always can consider making the playoff teams go inside a bubble to get ready for the Super Bowl in Tampa.
How about some crowd noise announcements too, Adam? We learned something from you about how teams may be treating fans this year, or the lack thereof.
Yeah, there are discussions within the league right now, Field, about teams being allowed to pipe in crowd noise. And some people have joked the Atlanta Falcons may have been ahead of their time being fined by the NFL for piping in crowd noise. And teams have been accused of doing this in domes for years now. But now, with most teams not able to have fans in attendance, I think the league is trying to figure out how to simulate crowd noise. And one of the ways they're doing it is allowing the home team to pipe in crowd noise during the games this season. It sounds like it's on a path towards happening.
All right, we've got virtual fans in the NBA and potentially virtual crowd noise in the NFL. Good stuff, Shefty. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For the first time ever, Philip Rivers is wearing an NFL helmet other than the Chargers as he's gotten to work with his new squad, the Colts, after signing a one-year, $25 million deal this offseason. Here's Philip on handling the pressure with his new team and overcoming some of Les' struggles from last season.
Shoot, it excites me because I know we can go through all those interceptions from last year, and I'm responsible for every one of them. They came out of my hand, but every interception has a story. And then we can also watch every snap from last year, and I think we'll come out of there feeling optimistic that we can have a heck of a year this year, which I know we can. So it's just a matter of going to do it one day at a time. And again, I think the biggest thing for me is be myself.
Jeff, this is your former team. You know this team very, very well. How concerned are you, if at all, about all the interceptions that Philip Rivers threw last season?
Yeah, I'm concerned, and not just because of last year. I mean, I think if you look back when Phil was with Frank in San Diego with the Chargers, he still had some interception issues, right? Threw a bunch of touchdowns, I think 90-plus touchdowns, but had 40 or close to 40 or maybe a little over 40, actually, interceptions. So my concern or my conversation, if I'm Frank or even Chris Ballard to Frank, is this team is good enough to win if we don't turn the ball over, right? We had a lot of conversations with Tony Dungy and Jim Caldwell. You don't beat yourself, you're a good enough team to win. 7-8 games, right? Then you got to put some together and string some together. But don't beat yourself, and you're probably an 8-8 football team. That's the reality of what Phillip Rivers walked into. This is a very well-built football team. Chris Ballard did a nice job. They got their good up front. They added a great defensive lineman out of San Fran. I mean, they are doing it. Their front seven now is formidable. Good linebackers on the back end. Not 100% sure yet, but they're going to get better. Offensive line is strong. Receivers obviously added to them with T.Y. This team is loaded to bear. So just play your role. Understand why you're here. Leadership matters. The way you conduct yourself. But it cannot be a I'm going to throw this thing out there, kind of a gunslinging mentality. There has to be a little bit of reins on Phillip Rivers, understanding he can win a whole bunch of football games. He just plays within himself. I think those are the conversations that the Colts will be having internally.
All right, well, Marcus, that's quite a bit of expectation surrounding Indianapolis. What would you personally deem a successful season for Phillip Rivers?
Get into the playoffs. I'm not picking them to win a Super Bowl, but I wholeheartedly agree with Jeff. Is if they don't beat themselves, they could potentially end up there. Obviously, Houston and what Deshaun Watson was able to do took care of business against Indy. But when you look at the reason they signed Phillip Rivers, every team is going to say we signed this quarterback because he can take us over the hump. We're going to talk about that with Tom Brady. We're going to talk about that with Phillip Rivers, and it, especially when veterans sign. But when you look at this team, like Jeff alluded to, they are primed to be good outside of the quarterback being prolific. Take care of the football, put it in the hands of the guys that can make plays, and we can win games, right? The NFL is a lot to do about not beating yourself. Most teams that we see have terrible – look, for fans out there, and Jeff Saturday can attest to this, the degree of separation between the best team and the worst team in the NFL is not that wide of a gap. Believe it or not, it's one or two plays. Two or three things happening, an injury away, things like that. So Phillip Rivers was brought in to be that extra part that Indy needed in addition to what they already are for their mindset being win a Super Bowl. But obviously we know they in the AFC. And we know who else is in the AFC, and I'm not going to act like they're going to beat them to get to a Super Bowl.
Hey, let me tell you something right now.
Kansas City, by the way, everybody that I'm talking about.
Well, we knew who you were talking about. And this team, this Colts team, is more loaded than I think people realize. Everybody knows the great job that Chris Ballard did in the offensive line. But they've got a surplus of weapons all of a sudden on the offensive side of the football that I think have kind of flown under the radar a little bit. Everybody knows that they've got Paris Campbell, a former high pick, coming back from injury this year. You have Michael Pittman, who they drafted in the second round this year, who's already shined during camp. Jonathan Taylor, former running back, who's already shined during camp. So there's some young blood to mix in with veterans like T.Y. Hilton and Marlon Mack, and to have this blend of youth and experience that I think gives this an offense, it makes it an underrated unit that people don't realize, and it's better than people think.
You know, there's one player on this team
that
seems to be underappreciated, and he feeds off the critics. So I'm just going to name Darius Leonard because the guy never gets any love. Their linebacker and always feeds off of that lack of love. So we're going to give him some love here on NFL Live. One note on Phillip Rivers. This is a record he actually wants to remove himself from. No player in NFL history has more passing yards and touchdowns without a Super Bowl appearance than Phillip himself. Interesting. The Steelers reached 500 last season, despite being without Ben Roethlisberger for 14 full games. Their star quarterback is back and healthy following an elbow injury, working hard with his teammates in the early stages of camp.
Objectively, you know, remove me from the fact that I'm a Steeler, but, like, I just don't see how our offense cannot be super productive and, you know, be one of the top offenses in the NFL, so... I think the excitement is obviously, you know, everywhere here in our building. The potential of what we know that we can reach, the numbers that we know that we can put up.
Last season, the Steelers tied the second largest drop-off in total QBR since the metric was first tracked in 2006. Only the Cardinals from 2009 to 2010 had a larger drop-off, and that was the offseason that Kurt Warner retired. Pittsburgh QBR drop-off tied Indianapolis's from 2010 to 2011, minus 38.4. That was the end of the Peyton Manning era with the Colts. And with Big Ben returning in 2020, will the Steelers reclaim their spot as one of the league's best offenses That's the question I pose to you, Marcus. Can this be a top 10 offense in 2020?
Well, first of all, Phil, yeah, they fell off. They play with Duck Goose at quarterback. That's number one. The second thing is, when you look at what Philly has had the ability to do, I mean, Philly, when you look at what Pittsburgh has had the ability to do, they've always been built on the defensive side of the football. We can go back. Jeff Saturday knows. Shefty knows. We can go back as long as we want to go back. And for as good as they've been offensively, the defense has been the part to get them into that Super Bowl contention and really take them over the hump. But, yes, look, if Ben Roethlisberger can account for two more wins on an 8-win team that legitimately, I joke, but legitimately did not have any clue how their quarterbacks would perform from week to week, they definitely could be a playoff team. But a top 10 offense, I don't see it right now. Juju Smith-Schuster, who I think is a really good football player, to me still has a lot to prove. And maybe I'm of an old narrative. I remember Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell in this offense and what him and Ben, what A.B. and Ben and Le'Veon were doing to people. I was on a Ravens team when you knew that three-headed monster was going to take advantage of everything you were trying to do. I think James White is a good player out there at wide receiver. I have so much respect for James Conner and how he rolls. So this offense can be really good, but I'm not ready to put them in the ascension of a top 10 offense yet.
I will say this. I agree with Swagoo on the defensive side of the ball. This team is starting to get back to kind of that fear, that kind of fearsome defenses that you used to play, right? They're kind of inching their way back into those conversations. Offensively, I actually agree this could be a top 10. And here's why I would say that. If you look back at last year, the offensive line kind of took a step back, or that's what everybody thinks. But at the end of the day, you can't run the ball when no one's afraid that you can throw it. So back to Swagoo's original point, when you're playing with two quarterbacks that no one's scared about, all of a sudden defenses walk down. They can give you looks that will prevent you from being able to run the ball effectively. So now all of your numbers look bad. I have played on a team when Peyton Manning was injured, and I watched our offense when all of a sudden we went from scoring so many points to we're all trash, right? And everybody's kind of – let me tell you something. Ben Roethlisberger gets back to 75% of what he was in 2018. Now, he threw 600-and-something passes. He can't do that on the elbow. But let him get back to 75% of what he was in 2018. This team will be a top-10 defense. And here's another thing. Mike Tomlin, to be 8-8 last year, dang, he almost would have been up for coach of the year. With what he had and what he was doing, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. So as you're looking at this football team, he understands how to win big games. He understands how to take his team to the next level. Now all you got to do is make sure Ben's elbow can kind of hold in there. If he does, it is definitely a top 10 offense.
All sorts of quarterback storylines in the AFC North this offseason, as they're the only division that has four projected starters that were all first-round picks when they entered the league. Dez Bryant was out of the NFL during the 2019 season while recovering from an Achilles injury, but a return to the gridiron could be on the horizon. The former Cowboys star is working out with the Baltimore Ravens, a team looking to add depth to Lamar Jackson's group of pass catchers. Jackson had this to say about Bryant on Tuesday.
We got a lot of great receivers who's here right now, but it's up to the front office. I'll be seeing Dez Bryant on Instagram and stuff like that, running his routes and competing against cornerbacks, and he'd be looking pretty good on social media. But yeah, if the front office like him, we'll have to see when he gets here.
We all look good on Instagram. That's the point of it. Dez took to Twitter to say this. You can run the ball 1,000 times. All I care about is winning and only winning. All right, Shefty, let's bring you in on the workout plans. What do you know about this Dez Bryant workout and the possibility of him landing with the Ravens?
Well, it's worth a look at this point in time for the Baltimore Ravens. They hope that they can help Dez, and they hope he can help them. They hope it's a mutually beneficial relationship. The fact of the matter is they'll be working him out tomorrow. Now that he's gone through COVID testing, they'll take a look at him along with other wide receivers to see if he's worth signing at this particular point in time. But I think people have to remember, this isn't Dez Bryant in his prime. This would be Dez Bryant in a specific role, and they want to see whether or not he still has it and whether or not he can help them. I also think it's worth noting sometimes these things happen in football where you've got a guy out there with a relationship. He's got a certain agent. His agent also happens to represent Ronnie Stanley, the Ravens' offensive tackle. So sometimes teams are more willing to look a certain way to help their relationship as they continue talks for a new contract with Ronnie Stanley.
A little olive branch never hurt during negotiations with your all-pro left tackle. Marcus, Sheffy just said the Ravens are going to figure out whether Dez has anything left in the tank. Do you think he does have something left to give to Baltimore?
I really do. You look at what Josh Gordon was able to do in his time when he returned to football, and I'm not saying Dez is as talented as Josh Gordon, even though there's a hard argument that his best years were very similar to what he did. But if you look at this Ravens team, you look at Brown on the outside, who is full of speed but not a big body guy. You look at Dez providing depth and also in the red area where he was at his best. That ability for Dez to still go up and beat receivers to the point of attack is still there. I've seen him work out. I've heard guys talk about him. He's worked out with Mahomes. He's worked out with some pros. And the only way you can get a legitimate look is if a team bring you in and you compete. And I believe Dez is still one of the uber competitors. The one thing we never question about Dez Bryant during his career is would he compete at the highest level? And the thing that I know about Harbaugh being in Baltimore for 1 year, he loves guys that will compete and go against whoever they need to go against in order to get a job. So I think it's a good landing spot. I think this team and the way they're built and their mentality lends itself to the way Dez Bryant plays football, and hopefully he can get a shot with the Ravens.
Yeah, I agree, Swagger. I think when you look at even the tweet that he just put out, probably says it all to me. It ain't about him anymore, right? He's not going to be the guy for the Ravens, even if they sign him. He's going to be a guy. He's going to have a role to play, and he's going to have a job to do, and he's willing to do it, whether it's block for 1,000 times and catch one ball. If that's truly his attitude and he walks in with that type of humility, I think that part goes a long way to helping the Ravens, because you need guys who are willing to do that. And Swagoo made another great point. Red zone, whether you're blocking or going up, big body receivers help you in a big time way.
As a fan of football, it will be fun to see Dez Bryant back in the NFL if he does indeed have some juice left to help the Baltimore Ravens. Jeff, this is your first time being on NFL Live since the tragic passing of your longtime position coach, Howard Mudd, who died 1 week ago following injury sustained in a motorcycle accident. When you reflect on his life, how did it impact you both as a player, but more importantly, as a person?
I tell you, man, he was an incredible football coach, best offensive line coach in the NFL, in the history of the NFL. And that when you say that, that's where everybody's mind goes. The truth is he was a better man than he was a coach. He took a chance on me. He believed in me from day one and never ventured from it, man. He could call greatness out of you. And not only did he do that for me, he did that for a number of guys. And we were all in a big text as we were all praying for him after the accident and talking with Shirley and his family. And we're going to miss him, man. Just an incredible human being, man. He was that guy who could encourage you. He could cuss you and he could love you all in the same sentence. I used to call him the mad scientist because he'd be pulling his hair out, screaming and yelling. And then you'd have a good play, and he just give you this little smirk. But he was just—he is an incredible coach, but more importantly, an incredible man who we are going to miss greatly. And personally, he impacted my life in so many ways I can't even begin to say. And I love him. I miss him, man. And I know we are all praying for Shirley and their family just to get through this tough time. We're going to miss him, and that's what the shirt is about, man. The Mud Method, baby. We're going to miss that cat.
Our thoughts will remain with his family during this very difficult time. More on NFL Live coming up next. All right, this is a statement from Chiefs cornerback Bashaud Breeland that I was getting excited to read. Here's what it said. As previously announced by the league, I have received a 4-game suspension for off-the-field matters. I post this today because I want to apologize publicly to the entire Chiefs organization, my coaches, teammates, family, and fans. I accept full responsibility for my actions, and I look forward to getting back on the field with my teammates to defend our Super Bowl title. Thank you to everyone for your continued support, and let's go Chiefs. All right, the Super Bowl champs continue to prepare to defend their title, and Coach Andy Reid speaking today about the intricacies of the playbook.
I hate telling you this, but I'm not sure we have one play that has one option. So it's normally there's three of them, and anytime there's three, it's it obviously keeps pressure on the defense as long as you're reading it the right way, and normally is good versus just about everything.
All righty. Jeff, you played with Peyton Manning on the Colts. Did you have any one-option plays back in the day?
No. We never had any call it and run it. It was always four or five plays going up there. He's going to read the defense, you know, try to hit him with some voice inflections, get the defense to tip off, and then we're going to pick it. So, I think what Andy Reid is saying is exactly right, man. You go up there with the best quarterback in the game right now. He gets to decide, hey, what suits our offense best. You feel comfortable with him, let it rip.
Jeff, I'm with you. And Phil, to that question, why in the hell would you give Captain America only one way out of trouble? He needs a lot of things.
That's right.
And only a few guys can be deemed Captain Americas at the quarterback spot. And right now, Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy has the one. The guy that can do it. Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys that can walk up there and say, hey, guys, we got three or four plays. I'm identified. We'll move along. It's only a few of them in the league. And Jeff wanted to point out, don't get it twisted. Like every quarterback can go up there with more than one option. But dang show, Patrick Mahomes is going to have more than one option when he go up to the line of scrimmage.
Shefty, do you happen to recall if either the touchdown you caught from Tom Brady or the interception you made of Tom Brady came on a one option play?
I don't remember that, Phil, but I know Patrick Mahomes is going to make a lot of plays, and I couldn't hear exactly the full question there. A lot going on in my IP right now.
That's okay, Shefty. You know what? You still power through it like the pro that you are. Here's my analysis of Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs are going to score a ton of touchdowns this year. They're going to be really good. They're my pick to make the Super Bowl from the AFC. Great stuff from all you guys all day.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.